Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and to Psalm 126. We'll come to those in a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1 and Psalm 126. The Lord keeps laying messages on my heart that are kind of, I think, not what I would expect at this moment. We've been talking about revival, and last week was a message on praise. And I praise the Lord that many of you have opened up your heart to that and that you're able to lift up exuberant praise to the Lord. And this morning, and I'm certain this won't be the only message in the weeks ahead that is upon this subject, but I'm looking at spiritual harvest, and the Lord is actually stirring in my heart and teaching me some things. And I would just say, even before we pray this morning, you know, we can pray for revival, and every church or every movement has a different definition of what they think revival is. But when the Spirit of God begins to move in our midst, and there is true repentance, and there is that inflow of the Spirit of God, and there is life, and we've seen a lot of that here lately, I believe that many of you are experiencing revival. Sometimes we expect some amazing thing to happen that is just beyond our imagination, and we have these fallout ideas of revival, and we can miss it in our own midst when God is stirring in individuals' hearts, when lives are being laid down, when people are praying sacrificial prayers, saying, God, use me, and saying, I lay it on the altar, Lord, whatever it is, take it from me, Lord, that I might be a vessel in your kingdom. When God's people are being filled with life and joy, and they're being obedient, and they're going forth, that is revival. That's what it means. It's life. It's new life among the people of God. And the point that I'm coming to with that, I want you to understand, is that we can expect revival, we can look for revival, we can see revival, but if revival only means that we come into the house of God and we have an incredible service, the altars are filled, people maybe are being touched, praise God, that is truly what we desire to see the Lord do in our lives. If that is what happens and there's never an outflow, if there's never a change in our lives outside of these doors, that we never begin to have an outflow out of our life, that the Word of God goes forth from us, and I'm not talking just to those who are called to preach, I'm talking to everyone sitting in this place today. If we come and we have, quote, revival in the house of God, but there is no reaching out, there is no outflow out of our lives, if we don't have the anointed Word of God on our lips and we begin to speak life into other people's lives, that's not the fullness of revival, and it's not New Testament Christianity. And so I believe what the Lord wants to do today is to perhaps expand your concept of what it means to be a witness, or at least to lay down a principle or two that will cause you to think this week about the treasure that you have. So I ask that you would just open your heart now to the Spirit of God as we pray and say, Lord, teach me. Teach me something that's going to help me, that my life would be a testimony and a witness for you. How many of you desire that in your lives? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I need what only you can do. For I have nothing, Lord. I would struggle, Lord, to even bring this word, Lord, and can certainly not bring it in any fashion, Lord, that would produce anything except just teaching of facts, Lord. Unless your anointing operates within my life, and I yield myself afresh to you in this moment, Lord, and I ask, Lord, that your hand would be upon me. I pray that my lips would be moved by you, Lord, that my mind would be in line with the mind of Christ. And Lord, that I would only speak that which you desire for this hour. Help me to speak truth. Help me to speak anointed truth that's filled with life. Help me, Lord, to bring forth your word under the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, let it bring forth a harvest in the hearts of your people, Lord, including my own life. I thank you for the things that you're speaking to me. And now I pray, Lord, that you would take this bread, even as you did at the table as we celebrated the Lord's Supper. Now take the bread of life, the word of God, Lord, and break it among your people and feed us what we need for this hour. And open our eyes to a new truth in your word, Lord, perhaps that we've not seen before. And I pray that you would cause us, Lord, to be those who are vessels overflowing and filled with an outflow of life.
to reach out to those around us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this morning I've asked you to turn first of all to 1 Peter chapter 1. And there are going to be more scriptures besides these two, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And we're going to read 23, but I want to pause there. Because if the Spirit of God is living within you, and you're born again, and the seed of God that we're going to talk about that is within you, then there's a love for the brethren. Sometimes we think that fellowship is who we like to hang out with, but that's not what fellowship is in the Word of God. Fellowship means driving our love into other people's lives, even when it's not comfortable for us. It's the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. It's the fellowship that we have at the foot of the cross by the Spirit of God. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Now we're going to pause there. I want to read verse 23 again. Having been born again, how many of you, you don't have to say it out loud, but how many of you are grateful today and you know in your heart, I have been born again? Jesus called it being born from above. You were born once of the earthly, and you were born into this world, but if you have come in faith and your heart's been changed, you have yielded to the Lord, this supernatural thing has taken place in you, and it's called being born from above. And so if you've been born from above, you have what this verse is speaking of. Now, I'm sharing something with you this morning. At first, it's going to be, oh, well, you know, I've read this, and I know this, and I'm not saying that I'm laying out some great new revelation or anything like that, but I'm just saying my prayer is that the Lord will open your eyes to see just the incredible supernatural nature of what we're looking at today. I'd like for everybody right now to put your hand on your heart, and we're not talking about your physical heart. You know, we're spirit, soul, and body, and the Lord gives us a born-again spirit. He comes to live within us. But I want you to put your heart just symbolically over the center of your being. And I want you to, you can just read this with me. I'm reading the New King James, verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And we're going to see that that is saying that there is within you, deposited within you. This isn't poetry, folks. This isn't flowery language. This isn't something to say, well, he has a nice little metaphor there. No, this is literal truth that if you were born again, and it bears witness right now with your spirit, you know it in your heart, that within you is something far beyond your comprehension. God lives in you through Christ Jesus. By His Word, a supernatural seed has been planted within you, and Paul calls it Christ, the hope of glory, which is in you by the Word of God. I want you to turn to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now the title of the message today is Bearing Precious Seed. Bearing Precious Seed. And I want to read this passage again in light of what we read in 1 Peter. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping. Now we have an analogy here of the farmer going out to plant seed, and in the autumn when the crops are brought in, he's going to bring back many sheaves of wheat because he was diligent in the work of planting his field. Now it says, which may sound strange to us for farmers, he who continually goes forth weeping. This is saying that he goes forth with great concern. He takes this thing seriously. You see, for the farmer, this is a matter of life or death. He will be weeping if there's no crop. And perhaps he's weeping because last year there was no crop because there was drought and there was a crop failure. And he is very concerned, and this seed is a precious commodity. Because if all you have is the seed that was left from last year's harvest and you plant it and you get a crop failure, then you've got to purchase more seed. So this seed is like money in Hebrew in ancient times. And so this seed is a very precious commodity. It is the most valuable thing that the farmer has. All of what is going to be coming forth in the future for his sustenance and his life depends upon this seed in his hands. And he goes out with this canvas bag strapped across his shoulders and hanging at his side, and he scatters the seed upon the field and waits for the rains in the springtime. And so he continually goes forth weeping, in other words, with great concern. It is a matter of life and death. It's a serious thing for the farmer. Bearing seed for sowing shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God has placed this in the book of Psalms as a principle that lines up from one end of the Word of God to the other for us to live by concerning the spiritual harvest. So if you were born from above, you're bearing something of priceless value, something that's precious to God. It cost his life, but it's also something that is necessary or that is needed for mankind. It's called precious seed. I want you again, Justin, I don't usually do these things, but I want you to put your hand on your heart. I want you to think about this even when you lay down on your pillow tonight, that there's something real that God's done in your life. And I'm just going to say, if there's nothing real there, then you need to be on your knees asking God for something that's real, that you wouldn't live a life wearing a mask, a Christian mask, but that there would be a genuine move of the Spirit of God in your life, that you can testify there is precious seed right here deposited in your life. It's supernatural. It is the Word of God and Christ dwelling in you in His Word. And I say that to say that you cannot separate Jesus Christ from the Word. The Bible says He is the living Word. And so when you receive the Word about the cross, when you receive the Word that says that He came to bear our sins on the cross and you were born again, you received the Word. But it wasn't just a word out of a book. You received the living Word of God that transforms your life and by which Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, comes to live within you. And so the precious seed is the living Word. It's not just a word. It's not just some word. It's a supernatural word. Amen? Mary received seed. The Bible describes it as the angel came to Mary and said that you're going to bear a son. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And in this great mystery that we have not been given a complete glimpse into, the Spirit of God overshadowed Mary. She said, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And no man knew her, but the Spirit of God knew her. She received seed within her body, and she bore the Son of God. The angel said, that thing, that holy thing, which is conceived in you, shall be called the Son of God. And when you receive the living Word of God, you receive seed. And Paul says that he prays in the Word of God, speaking of the people of God that he was writing to. He said, I pray for you that Christ will be formed within you. Because as the Word of God dwells richly within you, again, I'm trying not to beat a dead horse, but there is something real, and it's Christ, the living Christ, being formed within you. There is seed, and it's precious. It is alive. It is supernatural. It is not just a word. It is the Word of God. And if that living Word dwells within you, then you have the potential for reproduction, which we will come to in a few moments. You have supernatural life, not your own life. You have laid that aside, so to speak, and you now look to Jesus. He is our life. He's our source of life, because we need more than what this flesh can give. We need the supernatural imparted life of God. And Christ brings that, and when we have that, we have something that imparts life to other people. So, Psalm 126 again speaks of carrying this seed, bearing this seed, and it's an incorruptible seed we read in 1 Peter. We are born from above of incorruptible seed. That means it cannot decay, it cannot rot, it cannot be done away with. It is the living Word of God. It is incorruptible seed. Now, we know that all things on earth shall decay and deteriorate. In science, we call that the law of entropy. Everything deteriorates over time. It loses heat, it loses life, it deteriorates and falls apart, so to speak. And those of us who are getting older understand the law of entropy in our bodies. But the Word of God, the living seed of God, is perfect. It is incorruptible. It is eternal. It cannot change, and it cannot die, and it cannot deteriorate. Now, if you look in Psalm 126 again, it says, "He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed." Bearing seed. You cannot sow seed until you bear seed. Now, I'm dwelling on this for an important reason for a few moments. You cannot sow seed until you bear seed. You cannot plant seed until you carry seed. You cannot bring forth a harvest until you carry in pregnancy the Word of God within you. You can't bring forth a crop until you have carried seed. Sometimes there are obstacles. Sometimes the way is hard. Working in the fields can be grueling, and the days can be long, as the farmer would say. But the seed has to be carried. You have to bear seed. It says, "He who goes forth bearing seed for sowing." It didn't just say, "He who goes out and sows seed." The Holy Spirit is specific in the way He words things. He who goes forth bearing seed for sowing. The seed has to be carried. You must bear it as you go out into the field. It has to be nurtured as precious, because it is a precious, priceless commodity which you bear. But by the same token, you are going to bear seed which is there for sowing. And to bear seed, now listen, this is, we're beginning to step into the heart of the matter today, okay? To bear seed and not sow seed is a violation of the principle in the Word of God. And may God convict us this day. To bear seed, and many of us are professional seed bearers. We have borne seed for years in the kingdom of God. We have carried it around. We have said, "I have seed," and we have praised God for the precious seed that He has placed within us. But the purpose that we find in the Word of God for bearing seed is that seed is sown. To bear seed and not sow seed is a violation of the law of seed time and harvest that we find in the Word of God. Because the very purpose of seed is reproduction. You have this seed within you so that the cycle of seed time and harvest may continue. Now, I understand, and let's not split hairs. You have it in you, first of all, because He loves you and because He wanted to save you, and you received Him and you were born again, and I've already mentioned that. But beyond that, the purpose of it being called seed, you could just, God in His Word could have just said, "Okay, I sent a Savior," which He did say, "and I rescued you," which He did say, "and you're born again," which He did say. He didn't have to use the imagery of seed. But once He used the imagery of seed, and laid down the principles of seed time and harvest, it becomes a principle of law in the Word of God. And so, to bear seed and not sow seed is a violation of the Word of God, because the purpose of seed is reproduction. You have this seed within you so that you may spiritually reproduce. Now, God's been teaching me and convicting me in some areas as I've been studying this. In other words, if we have been born of incorruptible seed, our purpose is to sow. So we do not bear seed in order to show people that we have seed for ourselves. We bear seed in order to reproduce. We sow in order that there may be a harvest. Again, the seed is the supernatural Word of God living within us. In Jesus' parables, it's called the seed of the kingdom. It is two things to us. It's light and it's life. It's supernatural. It's the supernatural light of God inside of us, and it brings us life that is supernatural from the Lord. Church, it's a manifestation of the Spirit of God on the inside of you, in the heart. God places it within you. Now, bear with me. I want you to follow me. I'm laying a foundation. God places this within you as a witness to Himself in the earth. God places this within you as a witness in the earth to Himself. God plants the seed by His Spirit, and He causes a man or a woman, a boy or girl, to pass from death to life. And He uses strong terminology in that. He says that before you're born again, you are dead. You are truly dead to God. People run around lost, just lost, and unbelievers saying, "Oh, well, I know the Lord." According to the Word of God, until you have submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, come to him in faith, you are dead. And you're cut off from God, and anything that you believe otherwise is a deception because you're in blindness, which has been placed upon you by the enemy of your soul. But Jesus speaks of the seed of the kingdom. And what kind of soil does he say it's sown in? It's sown in all kinds of soil. You've heard the parable. We're not going to turn to that. It's sown in good soil, rocky soil, thorny places, and places where the sun beats down and it's parched, but it's only in good soil that it brings forth a harvest. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, we're still just preparing our way here for a few minutes, what's wrapped up in that seed? You know, a seed is a little enclosed thing, isn't it? What's wrapped up in that seed that he imparted into you? You held your hand on your heart? You agreed with the Word of God? I've been born again of incorruptible seed. The seed of God lives within you. What is the purpose of it? Why is it there? What's wrapped up in that seed? Well, I could go on all day about that. I'm not going to, but I will mention a few things. One is the glory of the kingdom of heaven. Until that seed is deposited within you, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. You can't discern the things of God. You can't see with spiritual eyes. You're blind and you only see the natural around you. But when the seed of God has been planted within you, then you have within you the glory of the kingdom of God. Now, Paul says that the kingdom doesn't come by word or deed, but it comes in power. A word that's backed up with the power of God. So I want to take this a step further and say to you that if you held your hand on your heart and you say that you have incorruptible seed within you, then you have the power of God within you. Now, I'm not going to take that too far. I want you to understand that it depends upon your faith and your obedience to the Lord, and you may not have ever experienced much of it in your life, but within you is the incorruptible seed which has within it the life of Christ, the very life, the very power of God that raised Christ from the dead is within you by this seed, this Word of God that's dwelling within you. It is the power to overcome the enemy. Some of you right now are struggling with the enemy in your life. You're struggling with thought patterns. You're struggling with despair. You're struggling with where the enemy has come against you in various ways. Within you, within that incorruptible seed, is all the power that is needed to trample over serpents and scorpions, Jesus said. Second thing concerning what is wrapped up in this seed is the divine nature of Almighty God. The divine nature of Almighty God. We're not going to turn there, but Peter also says that we have been given great and precious promises that through these we might become partakers of the divine nature. In other words, as you believe the promises of God and you experience faith working within your life, you have within you the divine nature of God working within you. We participate in His divine nature. The third thing is the revelation of Christ. And some of you get excited about this. Some of you, I believe, don't know what I'm talking about. I don't mean that condescendingly. But I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. The seed of God dwells within you so that your eyes will be opened in the Word of God to the revelation of Christ. What does that mean? It means that every day Christ should be being revealed greater and greater to you. That as you're in the Word and as you pray and as you hear the Word of God preached and as you study, whatever it may be, whether it's listening to a tape or whether it's reading a book, that God is speaking to you and you're seeing Christ more and more glorious, you think that you know Him, and you think that things are kind of going along, and then all of a sudden, pow, you see another side of Christ you never saw before, and He speaks to you in your circumstances, and He says, guess what, I'm here in this also. And you have Him just constantly being revealed to your spirit. And that is because of this incorruptible seed that's placed within you. You have agape, the divine love of God within you. That means that you react in a different way than other people who have not the seed. That where other people speak of love, let me tell you what, most people's concept of love is a niceness that is wishy-washy. It's don't bother me, let's all just get along. That's most people's concept of love. Jesus' concept of love is that I will lay my life down for you. You will lay your life down for one another. Jesus' concept of love is that it sacrifices. It's always sacrificing. It's washing feet. It's serving one another in love. And that takes the agape, supernatural, divine love of God that comes through this seed. And within this seed is all of the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. in order to minister to one another and to build up the body of Christ. And so, without going any further with that, again, within you is the divine Word of God, the incorruptible Word of God, the incorruptible seed, the very life of Christ, deposited as valuable, priceless seed. And we read in this passage of Scripture, he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing. And so I'm asking this morning, I ask you, where you sit, each one of you, because only you know this between you and God. The person next to you cannot answer this question. I cannot answer this question. I'm asking you to be honest with yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to unveil your heart and say before God, do I bear the seed? Do I bear the seed? Is there a divine life that has been imparted to me? Am I truly born from above? Does the Spirit of Christ dwell within me? Do I know, do I have the witness of the Spirit of God that I have this incorruptible seed? I have the revelation of Christ. I have the power of God on the inside of me. It's available. Do you have that? And I would say to you this morning, contrary to popular opinion, those who do not know Jesus do not have this seed. I'm going to explain this a little further. Those who do not know Jesus, those who cannot testify that they have been born from above, do not have this seed. And there are some right here. I know that our young people struggle with this because of what's spoken around them all the time, everywhere they look, whether it's on the internet or in music or on TV. But I'm telling you that according to the Word of God, those who do not know Jesus Christ do not have this divine seed. Now, a lot of our philosophy and our thinking today comes from a concept that was popular with Greek philosophers, and it's this. You may have heard it before. You probably have heard it on Oprah. And it says this, that within every man, within the soul of every man, there is the spark of divine fire. There is the spark of deity. There is a little bit of the spark of God within every person. That is what Greek philosophers taught, and that is what is the most popular. It has infiltrated New Age. It's infiltrated the blending, the mixing of religions, that we all have the divine within us. And you'll hear people on TV, you'll hear people in the news, you'll hear people in your day-to-day contacts in the workplace say, well, we all have a little bit of God in us. And there's this great brotherhood of man. And so if we'll just tap into that, we can know God on the inside and we can have that realization of who we are in God. And I tell you that that is blasphemy. That is blasphemy according to the Word of God. I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you what the truth is. The truth is that one man had a divine spark. One man had a fire burning within him. One human had a fire burning within him in times past, and that was Adam. As Adam was created as in the image of God and had perfect communion with God, yes, he had that fellowship with the divine, and he had a fire burning within him. He had that fellowship with the Lord. And when Adam sinned, his soul turned into an ash heap. And the fire went out. And because of the law of reproduction, everyone that was born to Adam and Eve could only be born like Adam and Eve. And so everyone who was born to Adam and Eve and of their race right on down to us is born with a candle. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. But that's speaking of the redeemed man, because when we are born, we inherit Adam's ash heap. We inherit a candle with a wick with no flame. If you have trouble with that, search the Word of God. We inherit a candle with a wick with no flame. That's what we inherit. But when we come to Christ, praise God for Calvary. Praise God for an empty tomb. Praise God for the love of the Savior who came, that when we are apprehended by God and we receive that seed, we receive the Word of God into ourselves. He sends the Spirit of God and there's a fire ignited. How many of you know to be baptized with the Holy Spirit is a baptism of fire? And there's a flame. Now, some of you know today that flame may be burning very low. There may have been times in your life that it was a blaze. And God may be stirring that again right now because it can be a blaze again. But there is a divine fire that comes by the Spirit of God and no other way into the life of a person. And it is in this incorruptible seed that the Bible speaks of. I want that fire in my life. I don't know about you. That's what I've been praying. God's doing a restoring work even in my own heart. You know, I want to have spiritual reproduction. So again, you go out bearing precious seed. And before you can sow, you must bear. So I ask again this morning, are you born again? Do you know that you have the seed of God within your life? Do you have the fire of God that's lit up the inward man, the candle of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of the inward being? He that goes out weeping, bearing precious seed for sowing, shall come out again. I've not gotten there yet, but we're talking about your life being a witness. And I'm just going to ask you before I go any further, what do you want? I'm serious. Beloved, what do you want? Do you want to live a life that just says, well, I've got the seed within me and that's my ticket to heaven? You want to waste your life, and do you want to come to the end of your days and perhaps you're laying on your deathbed and nobody really knows what you believe? You just said a prayer at some time and supposedly accepted Him into your heart. Or maybe a few people, maybe your family knew, but they always saw actions that were contrary to the incorruptible seed, rather than a life that's yielded and that produces fruit. How many of you want to be lying on your deathbed one day and you have no life? There's no life to impart to anybody. And you didn't impart life to anybody all the days that you were here? Or how many of you, I realize everything in the Word of God that we want can become soulish, it can become fleshly if we let it, if our motives are wrong. But I believe God wants us to desire to leave a heritage. How many of you want to stand before the throne of God and see coming up behind you and all around you a great spiritual harvest? And it's because you went out bearing seed and you sowed that seed and it produced a harvest. And God said, look at all who came into the kingdom because of your influence. That is His will for your life, is that you would spiritually reproduce. He who goes out weeping, bearing precious seed for sowing, shall come again carrying his sheaves with him. I want to stand before the throne and have the sheaves with me that He has promised me. It would be foolishness. It would be utter folly for the farmer, for me, to strap on my canvas bag. This is what we do. This is what the church does. We strap on our canvas bag and we go out as filled with precious seed. And we go out and we survey the field and we walk around the field and we say, my, the field looks like it's ready to be planted. Somebody's been plowing hard. And there's nice straight furrows, but there's no seed in those furrows. And we walk up and down the furrows and we think, well, maybe next week we'll come along and we'll plant a few seeds. Maybe the Spirit of God will lay it on my heart next week and I'll plant some seed in this row. Or maybe we'll organize a committee down at the church and we'll take row number one and somehow we'll get some seed planted out there and maybe one day we'll see a harvest. And we walk around the whole perimeter of the field and we go back home. The wife's waiting at home. Her husband's been out in the farm, been out in the field, working hard all day. And she's got the meal ready. And we go home, back to the house. We open the screen door and we walk in and we plop down our canvas bag beside the table and we sit down to eat. Isn't it the craziest thing you ever heard of? I don't want to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb and sit down at the table of the Lord and put down my bag and say, well, I never did scatter the seed. We understand, or we misunderstand, the nature of the seed. We act as though because it is precious, it is to be protected, to be hoarded within our hearts. That if we give it out, it will somehow perish and we will somehow lose that which we have. But this is the nature of the incorruptible seed, is that it cannot be diminished by giving it away. The more you give it away, the more it fills you up inside. And when it falls on the ground, and there's still some spiritual truths in this for some of you that have been planting seed for a long time. When it falls on the ground, you may think that it has died and that it will never produce fruit. But the dying is necessary for the fruit to come forth. Don't turn there, but Genesis 1:11 says that each thing is created with its seed in itself so that it is capable of reproduction. That means that within you dwells the potential to be spiritually reproductive. And I want to help you out a little bit here this morning. I tell you what, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. You don't have to understand great theological principles to reproduce. It does not take an understanding of the deep things of God, which is awesome and wonderful. It doesn't take that to reproduce. It doesn't even take a knowledge of how God is going to do it and how it works. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Jesus is speaking and he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how." You don't have to understand how it works to scatter seed. And there are many, many ways to plant seed. But what is necessary is that you become a participant in the cycle of seed time and harvest. You will not reap if you do not sow. Now this is, I have sown for many years. Listen, church, I'm confessing, okay? I've done a lot of that various times. I have sown for many years. And I've seen harvest. But I'm going to tell you the Lord has been convicting me. You know, we sometimes sit around, I think that we have the mentality of that movie, The Field of Dreams, with the church. We build it, they'll come. That's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. And Paul, even though there were times as he went forward, the Holy Spirit directed him and would not let him go into this area or would not let him go into that area. Nevertheless, he was constantly going. He didn't wait for somebody to call him and say, "Come over here and preach." He didn't wait for somebody to say, "Hey, we're having a great meeting down here and we need someone to teach it." He'd go into somebody's home. You can go into some, you have a relative, you have a neighbor that you know may be thirsty or hungry and you haven't gotten them to church yet and you maybe haven't led them to the Lord, and you can say to them, "Hey, I'll come over to your house," those of you who are at a place that you may be able to teach, "and I'll come over and I'll do a Bible study in your house." That's how the kingdom of God spreads. This message is not just about being able to tell somebody on the street four spiritual laws so that they can be born again. Because Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." And there are opportunities all around us to teach, to minister, to go, and to plant our lives. It is not just, look at me. It's not a word as in four principles. It doesn't say that the seed within you, the incorruptible word, is just four principles. The seed within you is God himself. It needs to be shared in love. It means that you go and you plant yourself. You may not be able to even tell them four principles. If you're a new Christian, you can go and you can spend time with them and you can say, "I don't know a lot, but this much I know. Once I was blind and now I see, and I can take you somewhere where you can hear the word of God or where you can become a believer." You plant your life. That's the seed. The incorruptible word within you moves you to be like Christ, because Christ was the incarnate word of God, the word made flesh. And now you, because he dwells within you, you become flesh-filled word. Goes out, becomes the hands and feet of Christ to other people. But no, we carry a bag back home filled with seed. You won't reap if you do not sow. You won't reap if you do not sow. I don't want to do anything that's not Spirit-led, and that's what I was getting at a minute ago. We wait on the Lord. I know that you don't just rush out and do everything in your own strength. But we use that as an excuse to not do anything sometimes. Let's just be real. And the Lord has just really been dealing with me. I'll go anywhere right now. If somebody says, "I want a Bible study in my home," or in a halfway house around here. I was talking to someone yesterday. Anywhere that I can sow seed. Anywhere that I can sow seed, because I want more harvest. And God will provide what's needed. He multiplies your spiritual gifts and abilities and strengthens you so that you may reproduce. He multiplies your finances so that you can invest in his work. He doesn't multiply your finances so that you can heap rewards upon yourself. He multiplies your finances so that they may be invested in the work of his kingdom. You have children. You have loved ones. You have coworkers, and some of you right now are probably thinking, oh, the years that I have sown seed. Oh, the years that I've sown seed, and I don't see the harvest yet. Well, I want to just share something with you. There are two principles at work here. One is that we don't always reap our own sowing. You know, Paul said Apollos watered and this one planted, all these different things. You come along, someone else may have been planting for a long time, and you come along, and by the grace of God, you get to reap a harvest in someone that someone else had been planted and praying over for years, watering and doing all the work. But by the same token, you've been working and you've been planting and you've been praying, you've been sowing seed all these years, someone else may reap that harvest. And yet, I do want to say this. If you're diligent, if you're faithful, if you plant and plant and plant, you may say, I don't see the harvest, I don't see the harvest, because it takes time for the land to be cultivated. It takes time for those young plants to be cultivated. And seed time and harvest are two separate seasons of the year. So there may be a time, a long time of you planting seeds, planting seeds, planting seeds. But one day, God will, in a moment, let you see a harvest. There'll be a harvest that comes forth. It's a principle in the Word of God. Psalm 1:3, don't turn there. I'm trying to save some time here. Psalm 1:3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. So if there's a fruitful season, that means there are seasons in your life that you don't see the fruit. And you wonder where it is. And you say, God, I've been planting. Well, I'm telling you, keep planting and keep watering, because the fruit will come, according to the Word of God. And he says, don't become weary in what you're doing. Turn to Galatians 6. Chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 6. I think about some of us are more gifted, maybe struggle in some areas than other areas, and I watch my wife with our grandkids, and everything that she is doing is in this message today. And I'm not saying this to build her up, but it's something that God's doing in her as much as I've ever seen it in anybody. Every opportunity, every time with a grandchild, whether it's one or more together, every opportunity, she is farming. She's always planting seeds, always planting seeds, always planting seeds. And I'm convinced, according to the Word of God, that she's going to have a great harvest because of that. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. I know it's hot in here, y'all. Just bear with me a few more minutes. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. You reap what you sow. If you do not sow, this is how the Lord is speaking to me, and I pray that he'll speak to you today about this. If you do not sow, church, I'm not trying to be negative, but if you don't sow, you're not going to reap. It's just that plain. If you do not sow, you will not reap, and it is the Lord's will that you reap a harvest. If you do not sow, you will not reap. I want you to say that with me. If I do not sow, I will not reap. But if I sow, I will reap what I have sown. If I sow strife and discord, then I'm going to reap strife and discord. If I sow deception, I'm going to reap deception. If I sow pain into people's lives, I'm going to reap pain. But if I'm a born-again believer who has the incorruptible seed of God within me, I'm going to sow life, I'm going to sow the Word of God, I'm going to sow truth, and I'm going to reap those things when I see a harvest come forth. Last thing that I want to share with you is you have to sow, and this I want to encourage some of you. You have to sow regardless of the circumstances. I want you to turn to two short scriptures, Ecclesiastes chapter Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Verse 4, How many of you don't answer this out loud, but how many of you really want to witness and you want your life to be a testimony and you want to plant seed, but there's always something that gets in the way? If you're always looking at circumstances and you're not committed to passing that seed forth, you won't do it. And Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 4 says, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." If you're always looking somewhere else, you're not going to sow, and you're not going to reap. I want you to turn to Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, verse 20. "Blessed are you who sow beside all waters, who send out freely the feet of the ox and the donkey." Now, I know that probably makes no sense right there. "Blessed are you who sow beside all waters, who send out freely the feet of the ox and the donkey." I want to read this to you from the Amplified Version. "Happy and fortunate are you who cast your seed upon all waters when the river overflows its banks. For the seed will sink into the mud, and when the waters subside, will spring up. You will find it after many days in an abundant harvest." In other words, no matter what kind of waters you're next to, waters of adversity, waters of plenty, waters of the moving of the Spirit, waters of hardship, waters of sorrow, blessed are you and happy are you if you plant seed even in the midst of those waters, because then you're going to send out these animals of harvest and you're going to bring forth an abundant harvest after the waters have subsided and the seeds have sprung up as a harvest and brought forth the crop. So even when the floods of adversity are overflowing the banks, you still sow seed. In other words, when you are filled with sorrow, see, again, I'm not talking about being able to recite to someone four spiritual laws about how to find Jesus. You need to be able to tell someone how to come to Christ. But I'm telling you that you plant seed all the time with your life if you desire to. If you're in sorrow and adversity and everybody's looking at you and they're saying, "Golly, his life is so hard. He must have done something wrong. Wow, look at him. Everything's falling apart around him." But you're able to glorify God in the midst of your suffering. If you're able to glorify God in the midst of your sorrow, you are scattering seed that's going to bring forth a harvest like you could not believe. If you're able in the midst of difficult circumstances to still be obedient to God, to be a giver, to be one who gives of his life and his resources to the Lord, even when it seems that you don't have anything, that is seed being planted and it will bring forth a harvest. You reap in proportion to what you sow. I have another scripture. I didn't mean to mislead you. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. I want the Lord to just burn this into our heart today. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." So if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And I know that there are some in here today that your heart is not for that. Your heart is to reap a harvest. Bring forth a harvest. If you sow little, you will reap little. Jesus said, I'll let the praise team go ahead and come. Don't turn there, but in John 12, you've all heard this. This is probably the most important thing that I could say this morning. Jesus said that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. This is where what I mentioned earlier comes to pass in your life, where you not only bear seed, you become seed. Jesus not only had the Word of God, He was the Word of God. He was the living Word of God. And those two things became one thing within Him, one with Him. He was the living Word of God. He was incarnate deity. But he said, in order for me to bring forth the harvest in the mission which God has sent me on, I have to lay my life down, and unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground, unless that happens, it just remains a grain of wheat. It remains alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, then it's going to produce a harvest. It's going to bring forth much grain. And this is the greatest principle of seed planting, is that it requires death to self. It requires being able to or willing to lay down your life. It means that seed planting, that sowing, is more important than self. Planting yourself in somebody else's life is more important than your own time, having your own way. That God calls you to plant seed in a variety of ways, but it's always, sometimes, church, sometimes, these are things that I know. Sometimes it's that you lay things on the altar, even as Abraham did, good things that are very dear to you. And God says, that's taking too much of your attention, too much of your love, too much of your time. And he says, lay this on the altar because I've got some sowing that I want you to do. And so the things in your life that prevent you from being available to the Holy Spirit to sow seed, those are things that he would have you bring to the altar. As we sing and as we close today, I would ask that you would just say, Lord, show me the questions that were asked today. Do I have this incorruptible seed? If not, come and let me pray with you that you would receive Christ, you would yield to him, and that you would know what it means to be completely changed, to be born again, to have new life, to come out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. The second thing is, for you as an individual, even where you are in your seat, you'd say, God, I've wasted enough time. I've wasted enough time. You've put enough seed in me that I have got an abundance of seed to give away. You can teach a Sunday school class. You can plant seed all over this city. You can plant seed. You say, I can't speak. You can send a card. You can write a letter. You can write a letter to someone and say, I don't know how to speak well. I don't know how to put this into words, but Jesus Christ has totally changed my life. I was once like this, but look what he's doing in me now. I want to invite you to go to church with me. I'd love to sit down with a cup of coffee and share this with you. But I would love for you to go with me so that you can hear how you too can be changed. You can plant seed. There's no excuse for any of us not planting seed. So as a church, we want to reap a harvest. Amen? I pray that God will put a desire in you to multiply. Lord, we come to you now and we lift our hearts, lift our hands to you, Lord, and ask you, Lord, for only that which you can do. Lord, that you would take away fear, or that you would at least, Lord, give us boldness and faith to rise beyond fear, to be obedient to you, Lord. Give us eyes beyond ourselves, that we would see with your eyes and that we would be able to love others as you love them. Lord, that we would see the needs around us, Lord, and we would plant seed. Seeds of hope, seeds of life, and yes, seeds that show how to find Jesus, how to be born again. Lord, we pray that you would make us witnesses for you here and to the uttermost parts of the world. Lord, set us ablaze. Light the fire within us, Lord. Lord, that we would have a passion for you that is so obvious to others that they would come and say, what is it about you? Lord, that we would have precious seed in our hands, not in a bag stored away, but right here, ready to hand and to say, this is what has changed my life. Lord, calls us, Lord, to be instruments in your harvest, Lord. We thank you. I ask you to be with this congregation. Send them forth in your peace today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.